responsible in what they say, because he says in the word, that means what you're saying, that person is a perfect person. They're able to bridle their whole body. So think about that. So what I want to talk to you today is about, hey, if you can learn to control your mouth. I also want to talk about your mouth reveals something about your heart. And your mouth will show you where you're at spiritually. So let's dive into that. See, he's saying here in this scripture, if you can learn to bring your mouth, what I'm saying is, if you can learn to bring your words, what you're about to say, if you can bring that into the control of Christ, then you opened up a huge door for the rest of you to follow through. It means Christ can, if you can control what you say, I should say put it under the control of Christ, your words, what you're about to do, that you are opening up a door that Christ can come in and take over your whole being. Amen. Isn't that what we want? Amen. Because I got myself in a big mess. I need Christ to get me out. He's the only one strong enough. Now, in that same chapter, let's go to verse 3 and verse 4. It says, indeed, if we put in a horse's mouth. Now, I've said this before. Has anybody ever seen a Clydesdale horse? All right, my wife showed me one at the state fair here in Kansas. And I want you to know, I don't like horses. I don't mind them in a field, but I don't want them any closer now. Because when I walked around that corner and she showed me that Clydesdale horse, I don't like that. That animal way too big. And the whole time I was there and that, I felt like that horse was eyeing me. His eye was about as big as my face, felt like. I mean, those thing horses are huge. But that little bitty metal bit in their mouth is how we're able to dictate, control them, which way they go. We don't have to do hardly anything. Just tug it to left or right, and they respond. Ships, we have some huge vessels that mankind has created. Great, big, giant aircraft carriers. Huge cities. And it's just, compared to their size, their little rudder dictates they go to the left or right, turn forward, backwards. That same principle that John wrote about in verse 3 and 4 is that little small part of our body called the tongue, smaller than almost any member of our body, has more power than the rest of the body, seems like. Our tongue is not very big compared to our body, but yet it controls our body. Amen. Our words, what come out of our mouth, actually can interrupt the nature of a Christian. It can interrupt that process Christ is doing within us. Because Christ's nature is what? Some examples are, but not limited to, peace, joy, happiness, discipline of control of your body. But hey, that tongue, when it's not functioning in the nature of Christ, it brings us into what? Sin. What's that? Doing less than what's best. Being hurtful. It brings us into captivity and brings us into bondage. Verse 5 and 6, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets afire the course of nature, and is set on fire by Hades. If you drop down to verses 14 and 16, it says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and strife, which is self-seeking, exists, is confusion, and every is the evil, but is saying every hurtful thing is. Now, let's go back over recap what I just read. This disruption of the nature of Christ. that happens to us. There are words can bring about a nature of death, is what it's saying here. The nature of Satan. Satan's nature is death. What is that examples he gave? Strife, envy, confusion. And verse 14 is talking about this. It's saying that in your mind, we have thoughts, because that's where our words start with, thoughts, right? And then they come out of our mouth where we know what's happened. Well, the thing is, our words, when they're harsh, when they're sharp, when they're resentful, when they're unhappy toward other people, it causes a lot of problems. Starts a fire, doesn't it? And here it tells you, what I thought was interesting is after he tells you how your mouth gets in the way, then he tells you, hey, don't lie to yourself. I thought, that's interesting. We're talking, here he is, talking about how our words get us in trouble. Our mouth runs amok. And then he says, after he's telling you how your mouth could cause all kinds of problems, he says, don't lie to yourself about it. What does that mean? We justify what we say instead of finding out what we say should have been said. We justify. We make excuses. He's saying, hey, don't lie about it. What he's telling us here is what you deposit in your mind can get you in all kinds of problems. When he's on verse 15 and 16, this is not of God, but it's sensual. Now I thought, what in the world? That's King James Version saying things that in a way that we don't use English anymore, but what it really means in the original language is saying this, that, hey, don't lie to yourself. What you just said is of the devil. It's selfish. It causes contention and confusion and uselessness toward other people. This is not of God. Did you weigh out what you just said before you said it? Is what I'm about to say, is it of God or is it of the devil? We don't, do we? Because, see, what comes out of our mouth defiles us or establishes us. What comes out of your mouth, it's saying here, is you are hurting your relationships with others and yourself. How do you hurt your relationship with yourself? Have you ever said things like, I'm just stupid, or I just can't do it? I'm just a terrible person. Is any of that godly? The Bible don't say anything like that, does it? So our words, we need to stop and think about what's coming out of our mouth before we say them. We're supposed to, Christians. I also said that the words that come out of your mouth is going to reveal your heart. See, what you say ultimately justifies you or condemns you before the Lord. Matthew 12 and 37 says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. I know a lot of people say, well, you ever heard those saying, well, you know, hey, we need to go by what they do, not what they say. Well, the Bible says, go by what they say. Why? Why does God focus so much on what we say? Because our words guide our actions. Amen. They do. Because your words either set you on a path of success toward God, or your words will set you on a path of destruction. Just like if you criticize yourself all the time, you're never going to feel good about yourself. You're never going to be strong about things. You're never going to look at yourself in a positive light if you're always criticizing yourself, being negative. Your words guide you. If you keep on telling yourself you can't do it, you probably never will. If you keep telling yourself you're not strong in the Lord, you're probably not going to be. What comes out of our mouth is important. Even speaking words that are useless and have no purpose. You're going to pay for it. I know. I have. In that same chapter, in that same book of Matthew, verse 36 says, "But I say unto you that for every idle word," that means useless, "that people speak, they will give account on the day of judgment." Now, I'm actually a little afraid of that scripture. I said a lot of dumb things. I said a lot of useless things. Speaking words, if you're saying something that's coming out of you that does not support your purpose and what God's created you to do, in other words, if you're not honoring God with what you're saying, you got a problem. See, every conversation, every word from a Christian should be thought about through the lens of purpose. And what am I about to respond? The way I respond, is this going to honor God or not? Do you know that just speaking to be speaking is actually a sin? How many times did we just talk to be talk? Just to talk. I bet if there's ever an alien coming down, they probably think, man, these monkeys, they just chatter. These talking hairless monkeys. They just talk, 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 talk. We think that about each other sometimes. Somebody be talking to you. You ever be in your mind going, man, is this person ever going to stop talking? Just blah, 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 blah. We all do it. And we don't talk. We just talk to talk. With no purpose in the point behind it. This is where jesting comes from. Jesting comes from just saying it to be saying it. I used to be quick-witted. I still can be, but I've learned to put that under Christ. That if I'm going to be quick-witted, let's do it for Christ. Just be quick-witted to encourage. Quick-witted to think of something positive about someone. Quick-witted to share something, lift someone up. But that's not what we do. When you're speaking words of uselessness coming out of your mouth, we're quick to insult someone in some kind of way. That's called jesting. That's why we get into sinning when we say useless things. Or we gossip. We criticize. Quick to criticize. We are quick to be opinionated. That's uselessness, actually. Because if every opinion is based off a lack of facts, then it's pretty much useless commentary. Isn't it? Arguing. People will argue uselessly. To those we love, we are quick to share our opinions about something. About the way they're dressed. Oh, that doesn't fit into your taste. You're going to dress like that? Going on a date with your spouse? Everybody has done it, male and female. We've said it to each other, you know. We said, oh, you're going to dress like that? Okay. But did you stop and think to yourself first, was that a spiritual thing to even say? When you said something about the way someone looks or someone's dressed or something like that or some kind of taste or whatever they are, did you think about, was that best for them or is it because I didn't like it or because it's not my flavor of things? Did you take that consideration first? Did you weigh out what you're about to say? We don't, if we're being honest. We're quick to give out our tastes and things. And we hurt people that we love because of that. We've all done it. Sometimes we'll have our children. They're trying to come into their own. Everybody has done it. Every one of you in here has done it to your parents. You come walking out, and your parents are like, that is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. You do, what in the world? And they look like, you can't even figure out what they look like. You don't even know what happened to them. They're just dressed weird. But they feel like, you know, I don't know. There have been times I drove by and wanted to hand out belts to some of the guys walking down the street, you know, because their pants are dragging. Now, my day, you don't let your pants drag, but apparently that's a thing. Used to be anyway. You know, back in our days, the girls used to wear pants all the way up to here. You know. Now, then they went down to where they're wearing pants down to here. Can't we just have a happy medium? But when you have something to say about it, is it for a spiritual reason or is it because you just don't like it? See, you don't even take the time to figure out if you're being in the flesh or in the spirit when words come out of our mouth. Then I talked about words that you use tell you where you're at. Matthew 12, 34. Through 35. Your words expose where you're really at, what's really in your heart. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil or being hurtful, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, and out of the evil men of the heart, treasure brings forth good or evil things. What it's saying here is that word treasure means deposit. So a good person is going to put good things in their mind, and hurtful people have hurtful things in their mind. Now, when you're in between, because you're learning, you're trying to deposit useful things into your mind, because the Bible says a spiritual person can discern the difference between what is useful and what is not, and we will use what is useful. So what's coming out of your mouth? Is it really useful? Or was it hurtful? Because what comes out, what you put in there is going to control what you say. What you deposit in your mind the most of is what's going to come out of your mind or your mouth. That's why we can figure out, that's why you can look at yourself, hear what you're saying once in a while. You ever stop and listen to yourself? Have you ever said that to someone? Are you listening to yourself? You sound crazy. We've all said it. Especially if you're married. But man, we'll have stuff come out of our mouth. We'll be grumpy, negative, critical. And we don't even know that's what's coming out of our mouth. We need to capture the importance of how powerful what comes out of this mouth is. One example is, not limited to, is Matthew 12 and 32 says, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. We used this scripture a couple weeks ago. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit speaks a word. That's an unforgivable sin. So it's something someone said. Okay. Wait a minute. What does that tell us? That tells you that God, what you're saying out of your mouth is super important to God. Why isn't it super important to us? I've asked myself that. You know, if I'm going to be judged by every word, and sometimes words could be unforgivable, I might want to not talk so much before I think this through. You know, and being one of the slowest persons who learns, there's been lots of times I didn't. But then there's another thing. Do you know, by what you say, you could do something really, get in a lot of trouble with God. And by what you say, it also says it's to salvation. In Romans 10 and 10, part of your mouth, part of your words is part of salvation. It says here, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is what? Unto salvation. Whoa, my words are super, must be, I better start thinking a little bit more about what I'm saying. Sometimes our words can be useless, and they don't always reflect what's in our heart. That's also true. It's kind of complicated sometimes. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Sometimes we're going to say things like, praise God, hallelujah, and then whatever. I'm not very good at at Holy Speaking. I don't know what way to call it, but some people just got poetic way of being a Christian in the way they speak. I can't do it, but man, they're just so good. You ever had someone just do a prayer? It's the most beautiful prayer you ever heard. You know, I joked around. Many of you heard me say this before. I don't know about live stream, but one of the very first public speaking opportunities I had, in my perspective, was when the pastor of that time asked some of us young dudes to come up here, and we were doing a communion, and he asked me to pray over the Lord's body, which is supposed to be unleavened bread. And I'm stroking out because I wanted, you know, I didn't even know if I wanted to do that kind of thing, but here I am in the public, bunch of people in the room. And then he set me next to a good friend of mine at the time who was the best holy speaker I ever heard. When this guy spoke, it sounded like it was just the most anointed way to speak. And all that did for me was put tremendous amount of pressure on me. Because the longer his prayer went, the worse I started stressing. Because I was trying to remember everything he was saying so I could add it to what I'm going to say. And all I croaked out was, God bless the crackers. Then I wanted to crawl under a rock and die. But the pastor had a good sense of humor. I saw his one eye open up, he smiled, and he goes, good enough, you know. So he let me off the hook. If we would have had Google back in those days, I would have been Googling it and trying to figure out how to say it next time around. But we just say things. We will say, we like the sound spiritual. But I want you to know that that is temporary. Because eventually where you're really at will come out in your words. And there is nothing that's going to hide that. Anything, I want you to get, now listen to what I'm saying. Anything that is hidden in your life is only hidden to you. Amen. Not anybody else. Like we get upset when a secret gets out about something we said or did. But the only person that really was a secret to was you, my man. Matthew 10:26 says, therefore, do not fear. Now, it's interesting how he said, don't fear. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed. Now, God told you, Christians, he gave us a warning. Hey, whatever you hide in secret, it's going to be made known to everybody. Now, that could be good. That could be bad. So if our founder of the entire belief system, Christ, is telling you what you try to hide, I'm going to let everybody know. Then why are we freaking out about secret things? Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on what is hurtful and what's good. Now, you may feel like, well, I understand that God sees everything, and I know that God knows my secret thoughts and words and stuff, but I don't want everybody else knowing. Well, let's back that up a bit, because Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a so great cloud of witnesses, there is no such thing as secrets. Now, don't get me wrong. That don't mean you're supposed to be the tale bearer and go around and tell everybody what those secrets are. I'm just saying if you have a secret, you probably don't really have a secret. But there's a difference in God revealing something and then you helping God out. Because God knows when it's time to share and when it's time not. But what I'm trying to convey to you is that, hey, eventually, what's really in your thinking is going to come out of the way you talk. What you really value is going to come out of the way you talk about it. It's not a hidden thing. We should be very concerned about how we use our words because words affect our health. If you speak positively about God, people, and yourself, you're going to feel better. You're going to feel more healthier. If you don't, you won't. Proverbs 12:18. Therefore, one who speaks like piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. You ever gotten a real big irritated call? You just let someone have it with because you kind of made you, you they kind of got you irritated, so you said something pretty sharp, something pretty hurtful. Did you walk away feeling good? Now we think we do. You see, what happens is you get that moment of like a shaking up a can of bottle or can of pop. You get that feeling like, I just got to release. I got to let this go. I got to tell them like it is. But once you let it all the way out of the gate, you don't feel so good. But we think we will. It makes us feel worse. Your emotions are affected by what we say, whether it be good or bad. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. I'm quoting this to you because when the word soul there is talking about, that's the place of where you're, it's talking about a place in the original language. It's where your emotions are. And how many times have you been having a good day and then someone comes up to you that's all riled up, and they just start saying a bunch of harsh words and getting irritated, and all of a sudden, you're at 0 to 90, you're ready to whoop on them too. You wasn't mad when you got there. I've had people say, well, you seem kind of mad. I said, I am now. Well, you seem kind of grumpy. I am now, but I wasn't before I saw you. That makes me more mad than anything, is when someone gets up in my face, and all of a sudden, I feel I want to get up in their face. You know why I don't like that? Because that means I don't have any control. That person just took over control of me. They just hijacked my emotions. People hijack each other's emotions. But the thing is, in that moment, you have the mind of Christ. And instead of just saying what you feel, say some soothing words to balance out. It'll balance your emotions back out. As you're doing it, think about this. Yeah, don't we do that to children? You ever see children all riled up? Rawr! And then if you talk to them in a calm way, they calm down too. I've done it both ways, and usually, you know, you threaten to beat them when they get home doesn't usually work. Because if you're any kid, if you was a kid like me, my dad said, you know, when you get home, you're gonna really get it. I thought, well, I might as well earn it, so I'll go for the gusto. I'm not kidding. When my dad, when he just get what they call a whooping, that's not 1, 2, 3, that's time. Punishment of time. I always wait it out. 5 minutes, it's worth it. 5 minutes of a whooping, I can take it just to be able to do what I want to say, do this. I mean, I did. I'd weigh out my trouble. I'd decide if I'm going to get in trouble, was it worth the 5, 10 minutes of dad's strength? How long he could last. And there's times I thought it's worth it, and I just took the whooping. But we will talk to children and it calms them down. We do that to a pet. You ever seen an adult that's really panicking? And they say it's someone you really care about and you feel sorry for them. So you go there and you say, hey, it's going to be all right. Things are going to be okay. Yeah, and don't they just calm down and start feeling better? I mean, in the military, when someone gets hurt, they don't run up. A soldier gets his arm shot or whatever. They don't go over and start telling him how dumb, stupid he is. They say, man, you're okay. You're all right. You're going to live. And they may be thinking you're going to die or whatever. But you soothe them. Make them feel better. Give them a little encouragement, strength. So if it works, why aren't we doing it? It even calms you down. I have gotten upset and my emotions just hijacked. And then I, in that moment, Christ was able to speak through my heart. And I just talked to that person softly. Man, the heat just went down. And I felt myself kind of go down too. Bible knows what it's talking about. It mentions, talks about bones in here. When we don't listen, it gets our bones, affects our bones. What does that mean? Well, now that we know 3,000 years later that was written down, that in our bones, it contains substantial amount of immune cells. It produces the white cells that we need to fight infection, the red blood cells we need to carry oxygen, and the platelets we need to stop bleeding. What was he saying in the scripture? He's telling you, hey, if you don't get your, you know, balance out your emotions, calm them down, that you're going to make yourself sick. I have gotten so emotionally upset, I felt sick. I've seen other people do it too. They'll get so mad. And then they'll go away feeling sick. Their gut hurts or whatever because they just let themselves get all crazy. Our words, not only do they affect us physically, they affect our relationship. Proverbs 15:1. Soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. In our response, the words that we use, that word, a soft answer there in the original language means tender, encouraging. This will turn down the heat of the emotions in both parties. I just talked about that a second ago, but I'm kind of bleeding over to the next one here. But if you don't use those kind of words, the other type of words that we use, is it basically means when you use a sudden sharp pain or painful emotion, it stirs up the next person's anger. But if we can use words that are tender and encouraging, it's the first step in Christ being able to get control of your entire being. Amen. Of your own thoughts, of your own emotional injuries, of your own weaknesses. It's the first step in allowing Christ to get deeper and deeper inside of you to work on you too. Proverbs 10 and 21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but the fools die for lack of wisdom. What this is talking about is lifting up with your words, giving life with your words, encouraging people will strengthen your relationships. If you strengthen your relationships in the body of Christ, those relationships will be there when it's you need it. Because the every day of our lives in the body of Christ, some people are feeling strong that day. Some people are struggling. Those are feeling strong can be there for the ones that are not, vice versa. It changes every day, every month. But when you nurture and strengthen your relationships with the way that you communicate with each other, they'll be there for you. But if you won't do that, if we don't take our words into consideration, we don't strengthen people by what we say, we lift up. This also is true for marriages. When we don't say things that will lift each other up, encourage each other, and be tender toward each other, then what's going to happen to you is going to cause you to be spiritually sick. What is some spiritual sicknesses? Well, you're going to feel lonely. You might feel depression. You might feel doubt. You might feel weakness. You feel emotional ups and downs. And they're not going to be, that relationship's not going to be there to support you because you weren't there for it. And you're going to be weaker for it. Words are important. The last thing I want to bring to your attention is that, hey, don't just speak your mind. I know in the world that seems like a good trait. That's not a good trait. Don't just jump up and speak your mind. You know what? In Proverbs 6 and 12, it says, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. That word perverse there means to deliberately behave in an unreasonable and unacceptable way. When you're quick to speak, your mind, what you're really doing is you're not taking the time to think your words through. That's nothing to feel good about. That's when you do that, you are functioning less than your purpose and your potential. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. Line it up with the scriptures. Is it worth saying for God? Most of the time, we don't consider if what we're saying is in the best interest of the person. We just want to say it because it's on our mind. So I leave you with this. Learn to bring your words under the control of Christ, and then your whole body, your whole being can follow. Your words reveal the truth of your heart. Where are you really at? What your real values are. Your words can show you where you are spiritually. And if you know these things, why is all these things important to know? You can make a good decision about it. Amen. You can change with the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being with us here. We hope to see you next week at 11 a.m. God bless you.